In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the reading from Revelation appointed for today, chapter 3. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This is our text. According to this seventh and last letter written to the various churches in Asia Minor, our Lord Jesus Christ, who spoke to John on Patmos with a voice like the sound of a trumpet, knew the Laodiceans through and through. Despite the fact that five of the words in this letter occur nowhere else in the New Testament, lukewarm, hot, few, eyesalve, and anoint, and a few of the words occur elsewhere only once, cold, miserable, and wretched, we cannot miss the message. Serious things ought to be taken seriously. And the Laodiceans took seriously neither sin, nor salvation, nor sanctification. According to verse 17, they realized no longer that they were by nature spiritually wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. In verse 18, God calls them from the pretense of thinking that their own well-known banking and textile industries, or their famous eye salve, could affect any kind of lasting security for them. Verses 15 and 16 refer to the dullness and lukewarmness of their work and to the drastic judgment of God which results. That water, we know, like that of the mineral springs in Laodicea's neighboring city of Hierapolis, can have a healing effect. Cold water, even if given to an infant, can refresh and revive. But tepid, lukewarm water is good only for sitting in. The Laodiceans took seriously neither their sin, nor their salvation, nor their sanctification. And how close at hand lie the same temptations for us. Whether we are rich and wealthy and have no need of anything, or whether we long anxiously for the money and temporal and intellectual knowledge and temporal comfort we think we need to be happy, God's word turns our attention to matters far more serious. God's law breaks through our inherent sense of self-goodness and discloses that nothing good dwells within our sinful nature. It seeks to lead us to lament with Paul, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" It makes plain to us the inborn spiritual misery and poverty and blindness and nakedness and shame that is ours by nature. It rebukes us for being people who in and of ourselves stray far from God and keep company with Satan. It condemns us to death and hell. Of serious matters, we have no life. But of taking serious matters seriously, we have great life indeed. The Laodiceans certainly had no monopoly on the indifference and callousness which lukewarm water signifies. Perfunctory and half-hearted devotion to God in service of other people characterizes our lives and thoughts as much as those of the Laodiceans. Dispassionate and heedless study of God's word as though we were dissecting it under a microscope. Unconcerned and listless prayer in the living of a Christian life. Nonchalance about God's holy sacraments. Even in a seminary community, we must acknowledge our guilt of these Laodicean sins. We also have failed in taking serious matters seriously. Thanks to God, our text makes plain to us much more than spiritual apathy, however. Of the letters to the seven churches here at the beginning of the Revelation of St. John, only this letter to the Laodiceans contains no word of commendation. Yet the living Christ leaves no doubts in the minds of the Laodiceans or any other readers about his own serious attention to the serious matters of sin and salvation and sanctification. It is not disfavor and hatred, but rather love and a desire for intimate communion with people that lead Christ to rebuke and chasten. He desires nothing more, he says, than to enter and dine with us and have us dine with him. The letter comes not from a fickle and tangible source, but from the very truth and firmness himself, from the incarnate Son of God, who is the yes and amen to all God's promises of a Savior and Messiah. Not only did this letter dictator, this one who stands in the midst of the lampstand, this one like a Son of Man, not only did he faithfully and dependably fulfill all righteousness as the substitute for the world of sinners, something which yesterday's gospel made plain. Not only did he set his face determinedly and seriously to go to Jerusalem and there release us from our sins by his blood shed in the place of ours, but this one also rose again in victory over our enemies of evil and eternal torment. For us, he overcame death and the devil, the wicked one and all wickedness, and now has the keys of death and Hades. For us, he sat down with his Father on his throne and now rules all things in this life and in the life to come. In him, and in him alone, we have salvation from sin and power for sanctification. We don't always take serious matters seriously. God in Christ But he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen.